Some say he's a Jewish Hitler, and others say he's a man with a vision to save Israel. Meir Kahane made headlines in this country in the 60s when he founded the Jewish Defense League. That organization fought anti-Semitic violence with its own brand of terror.
20 years later, Kahane
is a member of the Israeli Knesset, or parliament. He continues to speak out with a voice that belies his tiny constituency. Critics wonder why he is allowed to speak in the United States
at all. His public statements call for extreme,
some even say racist, solutions to Israel's problems. For instance, in the Jewish press, Kahane said, quote, two things are divine imperatives. One, throw the Arabs out. Two, until
then, let the government quietly and professionally create
its own terror against terror. Let every Arab live in deadly fear. And in the Washington Post, he was quoted as saying, Judaism always was an exclusive group, and it
doesn't integrate with other people.
I am a Jew, he said, not a Democrat.
Kahane says that Jews and Arabs cannot coexist in Israel, and he says democracy and Zionism are mutually exclusive. When he speaks in Israel, Kahane targets Reform Jews as traitors. In this country, though, he asks them for donations. No wonder he has managed to antagonize the established Jewish community here.
In some ways, he represents that which is lowest within each of us.
It sounds all right as it begins, but it's the conclusion that he reaches which is repulsive.
He brings out the paranoid in people. And certainly works with... Meir Kahane is the equivalent, the Jewish equivalent of Khomeini. Of a very, very right-wing group, a very right-wing fringe element within Judaism, which is incredibly racist, incredibly intolerant, and incredibly dangerous and anathema to what Judaism has always stood for.
American Jews are not only angered by him, but ashamed that a person who claims to be a religious person should broadcast such awful kind of venom as comes out of his mouth.
He's bigoted and hateful. I mean, he's dangerous, and he's a lawbreaker, and he's an inciter and promoter of violence.
At the U of M campus today, a familiar sight for Kahane. Protesters meet him wherever he goes in the United States. His ideas have long been abhorrent to most Americans who know about him.
Kahane's analysis sort of takes its cue from a Nazi worldview.
What he preaches is absolutely terrifying to those he targets.
When you instill fear in people and you somehow convince them by your dynamic personality or charismatic presence, that their survival depends on the annihilation of another group. When you really work on the fear instinct, you will elicit a lot of response from certain people.
His supporters in Israel are a tiny minority of the population, but they were enough to elect him to the Israeli parliament, which has given him the increased visibility he has long sought. Now he's trying to build an international political party. And he often comes to this country seeking money.
Why is he allowed to return to the United States every year to collect funds and to further incite the Jewish Defense League to carry on, tactics, violent tactics against Arab Americans and to intimidate and harass Arab Americans?
Jewish leaders here are planning a quiet protest at a Kahane news conference tonight. No one we talked to would appear with him live on Newsday.
And what does the rabbi have to say for himself?
When we come back, we will talk with
Meir Kahane. Stay tuned.
And now the man at the center of the controversy, Rabbi Meir Kahane. Rabbi, we thank you for joining us
today. You just saw
our little story. You had a comment on it. I guess I wouldn't mind if you share that with the rest of the people who are viewing Newsday.
I must say that it was not the most unbiased kind of, thing. What bothers me is that defamation has taken the place of debate. I was listening to those rabbis.
Not one dealt with the issue
which I raise. And the issue is a very, very simple one. The Arabs of Israel are growing in numbers through democracy.
Not through bombings.
Through peaceful means, they can be the majority of Israel in 10, 15 years. What is the answer of the rabbis in this area to this problem? Now, I see the problem, and I have my answer. If they don't like the answer, it's not enough to simply call me your names. They had better come up with some other answer, or else Israel will not be.
All right, now, let us outline it, because I think you understand the issues, and I think perhaps even Dave and I, in some sort of peripheral way, understand the issues. What you're saying is, by very stint of numbers, Israel will no longer be a Jewish nation.
Exactly.
In 10 or 15 years, it will be an Arab nation, and with one vote, one man, one vote, they will simply vote the Jews out of existence in Israel and turn it into a Palestinian state. Is
exactly
that right?
You're right.
And your answer is either have the Arabs give up their citizenship or escort them to the border and say, get out by sundown.
Right. The Jewish people suffered for 1,800 years.
They enjoyed such benefits
of a minority status as crusades and inquisitions and pogroms and, of course, Auschwitz. I don't want that again. I have no intention of losing my country
to bullets or to Arab babies.
And this is the problem. There is a contradiction between Western democracy and Zionism. And when you saw those Arabs marching today, they were carrying signs,
not so much against Kahana.
Zionism, they said, is racism. Now that is an issue that all these rabbis are terrified of dealing with.
Rabbi, walking through this, though, here's an American-born Jew, born in Brooklyn, in New York City, going to a country that's not his birthland and telling other people who have lived there for decades to get out.
Because they're not Jews.
How am I supposed to rationalize that?
Well, first of all, quite frankly, I don't care if you do, but if you ask me
a question, we live there.
We Jewish people live there. My claim to Israel is based upon my great-great-grandfather, whose name was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We were driven out of that land
1,800 years ago.
Not for a day, not for a moment, did Jews stop praying three times daily to go back to Zion. We came back, and we
found people living in our land.
Now, the Arabs have 22 countries. God bless them all. And may they live there and prosper. And I wish them well. I don't want to kill Arabs.
I wish them well elsewhere. But we Jewish people have only one country.
And that country will be ours.
What is the difference between your solution and the solution of South Africa, apartheid? There is no difference, is
there? There's a tremendous difference.
Well,
the
whites
originally came to a black country. It wasn't their country ever. We've come back to our country.
Rabbi, I understand the biblical roots, and I even understand the ethnic roots, believe it or not. But when you're gone for 1,800 years, someone might move into your house.
And with
1,800 years of tradition in that house, how can you say you must leave your house because I am reclaiming it after 2,000 years?
I put it to you that if that happened to your house, that's exactly what you would say.
The problem is that most
American Jews don't feel that kind of Zionism. Well, I do. And certainly those Jews who return from the Holocaust, those who survived,
they feel it.
You know, when people say Kahanu's violence and so on, it gives me a kind of a perverse, perhaps, pleasure. For 1,800
years, nobody complained about Jewish violence.
We were the violated. I don't like violence. And these rabbis who are sitting here and playing with their navels about violence, who wants
peace in Israel more, they or I?
I live there. I'm in the army there. My sons are in the army. I don't want one peace. What an obscenity. Of course I want peace. But
I know what the Arabs would do to us if they could.
Look what they do to themselves in Beirut.
Then how peacefully do you ask Arabs to leave Israel, who have been there for not 1 year, 2 years?
I am ready. I am
absolutely ready to let them live in Israel.
Let them stay in.
But without citizenship rights.
Exactly right.
Without voting rights.
Exactly right.
That isn't much of a choice. Would it be for you?
It certainly would not be for me. And I respect the Arabs too much to believe that three Arabs under the age of 40 would ever say yes. Then they'll leave. With compensation, which is more than they gave to the 800,000 Sephardic Jews who fled Arab countries and left behind every single penny. And by the way, in 1945, when the Poles and the Czechs expelled 12 million ethnic Germans from their countries for what they had done to bring on Hitler, nobody complained, nobody protested, nobody called them racists.
Rabbi, what are you doing in this country? You're going to hit a dozen cities or more. What are you telling people here? Are you asking for money?
Yeah, but that's not my major goal.
I'm asking for logic.
I'm trying to speak out against Jewish leaders who are chosen incredibly. The average Jewish leader is not chosen for his Jewishness.
For his scholarship. He's chosen for
his money. If anyone is, you know, talking about money, it's they. I want Jews to hear the other side. Now, I may be crazy. I may be whatever
they say. But then again, I may not be.
We have
and
a question.
I have a right to be heard.
We have a question from a protester today. Perhaps if you would listen to this question,
sure.
You may have an answer for it.
Why does he have right to a land where I was brought up and I don't have that right?
There's someone who was brought up there.
Yes, indeed. She or her parent or her grandparent came into my home and
brought her up there. Well, it's my home.
You cannot share your home, really. Would you share your home?
Sometimes.
Maybe.
Living in the...
Well, let me say this to you. In the 1920s and
1930s, when there was no Jewish state,
and Jews and Arabs lived together, they massacred hundreds of us. You can't begin history in 1967.
What was bothering the Arabs in 1927
when they massacred 67 Jews in one day in Hebron, the occupied lands of 1967? The truth of the matter is that
the Arabs won't compromise with us.
They don't want to live with us.
So the answer is to kick them out. But as you make your way around this country and talk to Jews of America whose
leadership is
anti-Tabranism or whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure what the term is at this point. You would also purify the Jews in your own Israel, would you not?
I don't know what that...
Well, the liberal Jews would not be considered Jews. The Reformed
not
Jews.
Not true at all. That's another... It's an outrage. That's an obscene lie.
There is no litmus test.
Of course not. A Jew is a Jew. He may be a bad Jew, a good Jew, but he's a Jew.
Would your form of Israel accept converts to Judaism?
Of course, but it has to be done properly. Any non-Jew who wants to become Jewish, come on in. The water is fine. Do you tone down
in America the critics who said that Kahane has two personas, one for Israel and one for America when he's looking for money?
Absolutely not.
You're the same
really?
Man here as you are there.
I certainly am, for better or for worse.
Why do no Jewish leaders in this town or other towns come out and say...
He's got a point.
He's got a point. They do say it.
Privately.
Really? The bigger question is, why isn't there a Jewish leader sitting right over here to debate me in this city or any city?
And the answer is,
he knows that I'll ask him this question. Do the Arabs have a right to peacefully have enough babies and turn Israel into a Jewish state?
He can't answer that. If he says yes, then he's an anti-Zionist.
If he says no, then he's Meir Kahane. That's why he'll never appear.
Rabbi, we thank you for appearing with us, and we want to emphasize again that we tried inviting a leader of the local Jewish community on our show to debate these issues with Kahane, Rabbi Kahane. Pretty soon we realized that that was not an option. Here's what some of those leaders said when we asked them.
No, I would not debate with him. I wouldn't give him that opportunity to be recognized as another leader within the Jewish community.
To the degree that a rational discourse needs to be held,
Meir Kahane contributes not one whit to that.
By his actions, by his uncivilized behavior and illegal actions, within our democratic society, he's put himself outside the pale of any discussion, meaningful discussion, other than our rebuttal and repudiation of his ideas.
Pretty strong language from religious leaders.
Pretty strong cop-out.
Do you think it is a cop-out?
Oh, of course. How do we separate you from a racist if a whole group of people have to leave a country? That's not racism. One racist was the Poles and the Czechs racist for throwing out 12 million Germans who had lived there for 1,000 years? Were they racist? You're in the news media. Yeah. Words are tools, and they mean something definite. A racist is someone who says that a person or people are permanently blighted. Like in South Africa, blacks are permanently less than whites. In Germany, Aryans and non-Aryans. And
if you weren't an Aryan, you were permanently less.
I say that about Arabs. Any Arab who wants to become Jewish can become Jewish and be as Jewish as Kahane is. That's racist. I'm speaking about the national struggle for a Jewish state. That's what I'm speaking about. Are these rabbis, is this ADL leader prepared to see Israel go under through a majority vote? Of course not. Of course not. But he hasn't got the courage to say it.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us very much. We will be back with more Newsday. When we come back, we're just going to go to something simple like the weather forecast.